As we come before God's Word tonight, we will consider the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment, and let me encourage you as well as head of your household to take your family frequently back to the commandments of God. Take your family through the exposition of the Ten Commandments in the Heidelberg Catechism. Prepare the hearts of your family for the exposition of the sixth commandment next Lord's Day, Lord willing. And this evening we come and we consider the fifth commandment. We will do three readings, and of course we're going to focus on the reading in the main text, which is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. That's going to be our main text. But we're going to do two additional readings to enlighten our exposition. The first one is in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. And lastly, we will consider question 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is exactly what we confess to be the fifth commandment about. The first reading then in Exodus 20, verse 12, the classical place where we can find the fifth commandment, and then John chapter 19, verses 23 to 27, and the Heidelberg Catechism question. Give heed now to the reading of God's Word. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's turn now to John chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. John chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. We read, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Let's turn our attention now to question 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism. It's found in page 39 in your Psalter hymnals. Page 39 at the back of your Psalter hymnals. Lord's Day 39, question 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Our fathers taught us the following. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with them, with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let's pray together and prepare our hearts for the exposition of God's Word. Father, we have read your Word and also the words from our fathers of the past. And as we come before your law, we know that it has the frightening power of showing our sinfulness. We also understand, Father, that it is a delight for us, because far from being an instrument of condemnation, it's an instrument of instruction for us who are in Christ. And as we come before the fifth commandment, Father, we pray that it would give us humility, make us humble, so that we would learn from your word, open our ears and our hearts, by the power of your Spirit, Father, enlighten our minds, convince us from our sins, and point us to our Savior. This we pray in his name. Amen. Do we live in a time of authority crisis? Believe me, this simple expression has been the center of a lot of debate in academic circles. Several sociologists, anthropologists, psychologists says that this is just a big myth. There's no authority crisis. There is just a moment of freedom of expression, they will say. There is just a moment, we're just experiencing a moment in American history and in world history where people, for the first time, are seen eye to eye, toe to toe with those who would rule over them. Well, it just take a walk in the park for you to realize that we are indeed living in a time of authority crisis. It only takes for you a moment to see a little boy or a little girl, 3, 4, 5 years old, slapping the face of his mother when she's complaining with him because of something he did. It only takes you a quick glance at the news or even at YouTube when different kinds of citizens try to fight the police, not responding and not answering to their authority. It only takes you to visit classrooms and see how many teachers are facing a hard time because of this so-called freedom of expression. In fact, brothers and sisters, we are living in an authority crisis, and when we experience such a thing, as Christians, we ought to ask, what is the solution? What can cure this cancer? What can solve this problem? What can detect or stop this virus from infecting our congregations, our sons and daughters, our businesses, our homes? And the solution is right in front of us as we turn back our attention to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, in the fifth commandment. As we turn our attention to the fifth commandment this evening, we are extremely humbled because this is a law, or this is a commandment made precisely to tell us and to demonstrate to us that by ourselves, we don't know how to live. We need God's enlightenment, we need God's direction, we need God's instruction, even to relate to each other. And in such a time of authority crisis, it is so important for us to remember that Christ commands us to honor those who deserve honor. And in addition to that, He promises to bless us. This is exactly what the fifth commandment is all about. In the fifth commandment, Christ commands His people to honor those who deserve honor. And in addition, He promises to bless them. As we ponder on this text, we are going to consider it under three headings. The first one, we will consider the who of the fifth commandment. Who the fifth commandment is talking about, or who is the fifth commandment dealing with. Secondly, we will consider the how of the fifth commandment. How to practice it. What does it demand from us? How to make it work in our daily lives? And thirdly, lastly, we will consider the why of the fifth commandment. Why should we keep it? Is there a reason behind it? Is there any motivation? Is there any encouragement for us to be serious about considering it and fulfilling it in our lives? Christ commands us, brothers and sisters, to honor those who deserve honor. And in addition, He promises to bless us when we do that. Let's consider then the who of the fifth commandment, the how of the fifth commandment, and the why of the fifth commandment. As we turn our attention back to verse 12, and this is going to be, of course, the focus of our exposition this evening, the first thing that we clearly notice is that we have come to a moment of shift in the Ten Commandments. So far, you have certainly realized that commandments 1 through 4 are what we call vertical commandments. They are commandments that are designed for to regulate our lives in our relationship in relation to God Almighty, to the Lord of our salvation. But now when we come to verse 12, we have this shift. After regulating the way we should be dealing with Himself, the Lord Himself now begins to regulate how we should be dealing with one another. And the first thing that this should bring to our minds is this, is that the Lord here is establishing the fundamental organization of society. As we will see through the exposition, the fifth commandment is more than a commandment applied to family setting. In other words, what the Lord is really telling us is that sin has crippled us terribly. Sin has crippled us in such a way that we can't even relate to each other apart from God's light. We don't know how to behave in family setting, and we don't know how to behave in society. In fact, apart from God, apart from this light, from His light, there's only a chaotic existential existence. He needs to regulate even the way we deal with one another. Isn't that humbling? Isn't that humiliating? To truly acknowledge the effects of sin in such a way that we need instruction even to deal with our child, and they need instruction to relate with us. But another thing that really should capture our attention is that the Lord, first of all, explains and regulates the way we relate to Him before He explains us the way we should be relating to one another. In other words, the first tablet of the law, which is the vertical tablet, is crucial so that we would be able to relate with one another. Or put it in a different way, there is not a chance for us to have a good living horizontally if we don't have a good living vertically. This is the reason why the Lord begins the commandments establishing and regulating our life with Him. It is only that when we are in peace with Him, worshiping Him, honoring His name, that we can finally live in peace with one another. The secret behind a well-ordered society is that their citizens individually are in peace with God. When that happens, finally, they are able to relate healthily, peacefully, and encouragingly with one another. That just reminds us, brothers and sisters, how much we depend on the God of our salvation. But as now, after considering this turning point on the law, this shifting moment when we leave the vertical aspect of the law to the horizontal aspect of the law, we should, of course, consider the starting point of this commandment. As we turn back our attention again to verse 12, we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And of course, the plain reading of the text should direct us to that little tiny beginning cell of whole society, the family. The starting point that the Lord is trying to regulate, that the Lord is really addressing, is how we live in a family context. If the family context is not organized and it's not tuned, of course, society is going to be as well disordered. That's why then the Lord God begins with this tiny cell called family. And by father and mother, of course, the Lord God is addressing those who are, we may call, our immediate family. Our biological father and mother, those who brought us to this world, those who fed us, who taught us the first things we learned, who took care of us from our infancy. Maybe you sit here today and you didn't meet your biological father or mother. Therefore, the commandment applies to anyone that exercised that particular position. Maybe some of you will not like that, but that applies as well to your in-laws. According to biblical structure, your in-laws are your fathers and mothers. I am very happy to say that. I love my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. They are with me tonight here. And I'm not saying that just to please them, but I do love them indeed. But sometimes we have this impression that our immediate family are only those who brought us into this world. But again, according to biblical instructions, according to the biblical standards, even our in-laws, as they are brought together into our inner family, into our immediate family, they are also our father and mother. And therefore, again, we ought to be mindful of that. The very first thing the fifth commandment reminds us is that in order to live in society, it is necessary to live in family. If our family life is ordained, our societal life is going to be ordained. As younglings are taught to obey their parents and to honor them and to respect them, as they grow up and they go into society and as they relate with other people in other spheres, in different settings, they are also carrying that seed of the fifth commandment with them, bringing order to society. Now, sometimes we look at the fifth commandment and we give it a trivial flavor, don't we? Yes, honor thy father and mother, I know that. But one thing we should be mindful of is that the Lord takes really serious the fifth commandment. All you need to do is look at the evidence in the Old Testament. Take, for example, Leviticus 29, where the Lord imposes the penalty of death for sons and daughters who curse their parents. Or take a look, for example, in Deuteronomy 21, 19, 18 and 19, where the Lord God establishes the penalty of death for those who are disobedient. If that law was still in place, probably many of us wouldn't be here today. To be killed, sentenced to death because of disobedience to their parents. The Lord God takes the fifth commandment very, very seriously. And so should we. God is structuring society. God is redeeming society. As He converts us and as He brings us to His Son, and as He reminds us that we should honor our father and our mother. But the who of the fifth commandment is not limited to our immediate family. Again, as we investigate the scripture in different passages, and I'm going to tell you some of them, we come to realize that the title or the expression fathers and mothers, as we read in our catechism, are applied to different aspects or to different categories of people, what we call our extended family. Well, some members of our extended family are, for example, the civil magistrates, kings, governors, legislators, teachers, judges, police officers. They're all civil magistrates, not teachers, sorry, not yet. But these are all civil magistrates. In other words, they have authority within the structure of our society. And therefore, Scripture, in many times, in different settings, address them as our fathers and mother. Think, for example, 1 Samuel 29, 24, 8, when David calls Saul father. And he responds to David calling them my son. Another member of our extended family are those whom we address as ecclesiastical authorities, elders, deacons, ministers. For example, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul calls the Corinthians my sons. What makes him to them their father? Another part of our extended family are those who are elderly, those who are advanced in age. And it's interesting to notice this authority crisis in this aspect of the neglection or the abhorrence of old age in our society. Plastic surgeries, different kinds of treatments to avoid you showing that you are old, are just a demonstration of how a sinful society has grown abhorred of growing old. But the Word of God gives so much glory to those who are elderly among us. And for example, as we read in Leviticus 19:32, the elderly are called our fathers. In the New Testament, many times when the apostles are addressing the saints of the Old Testament, they call them our fathers. Many times when we are reading a catechism or citing the doctrine that was established to our churches from those of the past, we call them our fathers. Scripture as well tells us the leaders in general are our fathers and mothers. And that encompasses bosses, managers, employers, teachers, those who for small hours of the day do have authority over us in some sort of way. They are authority over us. And therefore, they also are part of the fifth commandment. They are not part of our immediate family, but they are part of our extended family. And you see, brothers and sisters, so important for us it is this evening to consider the who of the fifth commandment. Otherwise, we cannot fulfill it. Boys and girls, now you know that when we say, honor thy father and thy mother, we are not only addressing those who feed you, who put cereal in your bowl, or who take you for a walk. We're talking about the whole order in society. We're talking about your teacher in the classroom. We're talking about your Sunday school teacher. We're talking about the elders and deacons of this church. For you who is an employee, when we read, honor thy father and mother, the word of God is talking about your employer, your manager. You see, no matter how horrendous he is, no matter how blasphemous he might be, he is your father, authority over you in your work setting. And as a God-honoring believer, you should be mindful of that. That's the who, then, of the fifth commandment. Which lead us, then, in the passage, to consider the how. How, then, are we going to honor our immediate family and our extended family? And then we come across to this term that is such a difficult term to translate and to understand. As you look back in verse 12, the Lord says, honor thy father and thy mother. And here again we have a hint of how important this commandment is for God. The word honor here in the Hebrew is the word used to address the weighty and powerful glory of God. So every time when we read in the scriptures, honor God, or contemplate God's glory, you're coming across of the term honoring. It's understanding the weight, the value, recognizing its respect and esteem. This is the why, then, of the fifth commandment. The Lord is addressing and command His people to acknowledge the value, the esteem, and the respect of immediate family and as well of those who are extended family. But you know, how can that really be experienced in our daily lives? What it means then to honor, to recognize respect, value, and esteem when you are dealing with, for example, with our immediate family, with our natural father and mother? Well, of course, the first thing that it entails is obeying. And obeying entails listening. I'll say this again. The first way you honor your mother and father is by obeying. And obeying relates to listening. To give a hearing. To shutting your mouth and really pondering the words that are being told to you. To stay quiet for a moment and open your ears and your understanding to the wise words of those who have lived more years than you did. Therefore, young men and women here, when the Lord tells you to honor thy father and mother, He is telling you to listen to what they have to say, regardless of your age and regardless of your marital status. It doesn't matter if you're single or married. It doesn't matter if you pay your bills or if you're still living in their house. The Lord commands you to stop and listen what they have to say. Give them a hearing, a respectful hearing. Ponder what they have to tell you to do. This is part of the recognition of value. This is part of the respect and esteem you owe your parents according to God's standards. Another aspect of fulfilling the fifth commandment in our immediate family regards to the whole idea of respect in speaking. The way you address your parents. The way you address those who are in authority over you. It's not uncommon in our circles, because of our maybe more degrees, because of our youth, because we have studied a lot, and we have read all that has to be read regarding a specific issue, and as we listen to our parents saying something that doesn't add, we are quick to dismiss or even to mistreat them with our words. And in this way, then, we break the fifth commandment. We do not give them the respect, particularly in the way we speak with them, as God commands us to do. Therefore, these two practical aspects ought to be practiced by all of us as we are addressing father and mother. The duty of listening, the duty of respectfully speaking and honoring them. But there is a third way in which you respect, value, and esteem, you recognize the honor that your father and mother does have, is when you provide for them. This is also embedded in the word give honor. You see, it's not uncommon for young men and women desire, and it's good that they desire to have the best job possible, to have the best paying job. But the question is, why do you want that? So that you can buy your BMW or your Mustang? So that you can move to a different state and have a nice house? Well, you see, if you are a Christian and you are mindful of the fifth commandment, yes, we will desire to have the best paying job possible. But that's not only for your gain, but also for the maintenance of your father and mother when old age comes to them. This is part of recognition of value. Acknowledging that they who provided for you when you could not provide are now in need of you providing for them when they cannot. And it's really sad to see many sons and daughters looking for best-paying jobs, but completely neglecting their duty of caring for their parents in their old age. Providing for them financially, providing for them materially, providing for them in terms of health. This is all part of provisioning and recognizing their value. But there is a fourth way in which you should honor as well your natural father and mother, those who are immediate family. And it's truly related to the whole idea of recognition of value. It is with your presence. It is with your presence. It is not uncommon in our society that when parents, mother or father, come to old age, they are put in a manner and they are forgotten there. Maybe once in a while you go there and visit. Visits are brief, maybe 10, 15 minutes. You check if everything is okay and then you leave. And let me tell you right away that that's a breach of the fifth commandment. I'm not saying that you're sinning if you understand that your father and mother needs medical care and you need to put them in a facility where they can get that. That is not sinful. Sinful is for you to abandon them there. That's not acknowledging their honor, as the fifth commandment commands us to. It's not acknowledging who they are for us, what they did for us. And let me tell you something, there is not a problem for you changing the diapers of your parents. They did change yours, remember? But unfortunately, we have grown in an age where we want to get rid of the trouble instead of embracing our responsibility towards those who took good care of us. The Lord commends us. Christ Himself, who crucified Himself on a cross, commends us to honor those who deserve honor. And in addition, He promises to bless us. Now, how is that experienced in regard to our extended family? You see, we owe all these things to our father and mother, those who gave birth to us. But you see, the same honoring according to the commandment is regarded or is asked, commended in regard to those who are also extended family. And as we read through the literature and particularly through the scriptures, we see many examples that resembles or illustrate how you are or how you can be honoring your father and mother in relation to your extended family. For example, in relation to that manager that always is trying to make you fall, that is always trying to get you fired, that doesn't give you a chance, should you honor him? Yes. Not because of him, but because of God. Sometimes we try to attach our obedience to the commandment to the people or to the person. Maybe that's your case tonight. Maybe you sit here tonight and you're saying, well, that's all nice and beautiful, but that person does not deserve to be honored. Well, you don't honor people because they deserve to. You honor people because God told you to. You provide honor or you offer honor to your manager or to your boss or to your employer, not because he's a nice guy and pay his bills or pay you what you deserve, but you honor him in spite of his faults, because most of all, you are honoring God. As you honor your superiors, as you honor those who are from your immediate family and from your extended family, you are honoring God Himself. You are obeying the fifth commandment in relation to your fatherly, in relation to your heavenly Father. But does the fifth commandment only put the burden of obedience and honor on the shoulders of those who should, who are what we call the inferiors? Now, after in church history, but particularly in the Westminster Assembly, our fathers in the faith divided the fifth commandment under two categories: the responsibility of the inferiors to the superiors, and the responsibility of the superiors towards the inferiors. In other words, the fifth commandment commands us to honor our fathers and mothers, but he also commands fathers and mothers to take good care of us in our immediate family or in our extended family. And all we need to do is to investigate other passages in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testaments. For example, the fifth commandment commands or entails that our natural fathers have the responsibility to provide physically and intellectually for us. Sometimes we see the light of natural law in society. In my country, it's not uncommon for judges to establish some kind of fine or some kind of salary wage that a parent that wants a divorce needs to give the mother that he's abandoning and the kid. I'm sure that it's the similar thing here in the U.S. as well. And that's a reflection of this law. When the legislator established that, he was just putting to work the fifth commandment. Fathers and mothers have this relationship. They have this obligation towards those who are inferior and who are under their care. They are supposed to care for them physically, intellectually, as well as spiritually. What does that say of you, father or mother, who sits here tonight? Are you providing for your kids? Maybe you sit here today very comfortably saying, yes, I have been providing, Pastor, to them. They have what to eat. They have what to dress, what to wear. They are registered in a nice Christian school. But are you feeding your son or daughter spiritually? Are you guiding him in the Word? Are you nurturing them with the gospel? Are you pointing them to Christ? What are our kids learning from us as we come before God to worship Him? As we open our mouths to say the praises and the blessings of our God, as they look at us, as we perform those acts of worship, what do they learn from us? Do they learn to offer a vibrant and warm worship to the God of our salvation, or do they learn to be indifferent to what they do at church? You see, as fathers and mothers, we are to be mindful that our sons and daughters have obligations towards us, but the fifth commandment also entails our obligations towards them. And these obligations refer to physical, intellectual, and spiritual instruction and nourishment. That also involves the using of the rod. You know, a quick investigation in the book of Proverbs reminds us that the quickest way to give up our children to the arms of the enemy of our souls is by taking the rod from them. I know that that goes against all kinds of modern psychology, but I'm not here to teach you about psychology. I'm here to teach you what God commands us to do. And the Lord tells me and you not to spare the rod from our children. Sometimes we have been trading the rod for dialogue, and the result is a spoiled generation. I'm not saying that we should be using the rod all the time, but we should not be ashamed of using physical correction on our children, in spite of what the state says. God commands us to provide for our sons and daughters. That means providing for them physically. That means providing for them intellectually. That means as well providing for them spiritually. The same applies to all our extended family. Those who are in position of authority, in order to fulfill this commandment, in order to be our fathers and mothers, they are supposed to take care of us as their sons. For example, the magistrates, those who are in position of authority, legislators, judges, the president of the United States, they are to look at us as their sons and daughters, whom they should protect and physically care. They shouldn't exploit us. They should not seek their own glory, but the good of their household. You see, the fifth commandment brings a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of those who are fathers and mothers. And that means a lot of responsibilities on the shoulders of magistrates, on the shoulders of ecclesiastical leaders as well. We just saw this morning that ecclesiastical leaders were given to the church to be the judges of the church. But what happens when they don't do that? They are breaking the fifth commandment. They are not being fathers and mothers as they should be doing, as they should be. When they lack in caring, in protecting, in guiding, they do that. They break the fifth commandment. Or even when they lord over the people, when they try to be bossy on them, they are also breaking the fifth commandment. They are mistreating and giving us a distorted idea or distorted view of what it is to be a father and a mother. And therefore, when the Lord God gives us the fifth commandment, brothers and sisters, what He is doing, again, is structuring society. He's establishing the duties of inferiors towards superiors. He is enforcing the authority of superiors over inferiors, but also their responsibility over them. Why should then we keep the fifth commandment? It takes us to the last portion of the verse. As we go back to the verse 12, we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God given thee." As we come across his words, it seems that, or the first impression we have sometimes, is that as we obey the fifth commandment, we have an extended lifespan. Our years are going to be increased. But that's not exactly what God is saying here to us. What he's truly saying, and what can be testified on the pages of Scripture, is that when the fifth commandment is obeyed from top to bottom, from the family to society, we have such an ordered life that our years are longer. Because we obey the fifth commandment, then the maintenance of society is preserved. And that's really the promise. That's the guarantee that the fifth commandment gives God's people and actually the whole world. The fifth commandment tells us that for society to prevail and to be carried on throughout history, the fifth commandment needs to be observed. Otherwise, people is going to be killed in the streets. Education is impossible. Life within factories and offices are just impracticable. In the Israelite context, as they are going to conquer the land, and as they're going to live in that land, as they process and apply the fifth commandment, they are bringing order to the place where they are colonizing. And therefore, they're establishing order and prolonging their life. But there is a second reason why we should obey the fifth commandment. Yes, it is really clear, it is really practical, even pragmatical, that if we do that and if we teach that well to our sons and daughters, our society will flourish. But we did read John chapter 19, verse 23 to 27. And a second reason, brothers and sisters, for us to love the fifth commandment, to fulfill it, it is because it is the essence of the gospel. It is the essence of the gospel. What was the Lord Jesus Christ doing when he climbed that tree? Yes, he was conquering salvation for me and you. Yes, he was destroying hell and Satan. Yes, he was putting an end to the reign of death. But he was obeying his Father. He was obeying his Father. As he climbed up that cross for me and for you, he is fulfilling the fifth commandment because you broke it. You see, the only reason why God the Son had to obey God the Father in offering up his life at that cross was that because you didn't honor your father and mother. In Adam, you didn't do it. And even right now, as you go back in your life, you know you didn't do it. The only reason why the Lord Jesus had to fulfill the fifth commandment is because you broke it. And taking your curse upon his shoulders, he sacrificed himself, obeying his Father once for all to save sinners such as us and to enable us now to fulfill the fifth commandment. Because of his death, we were made alive and we were made able to honor our father and mother and to be fathers and mothers. Isn't that a beautiful sight when you read that the Lord Jesus Christ provided for his mother even at the moment of his death? Did you notice that? Did you notice that even at his moment at death, he is fulfilling the fifth commandment? We don't know where Joseph was. Maybe he was already dead. Probably, highly probably, Mary was all by herself. And hanging on that cross, he sees his mother and he says, "John, here is your mother." Even when he's dying, he provides for his mom. Shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we follow the steps of our Lord and Savior? And even when it's most sacrificial to us, honor our father and mother? Yes, we should. Because as he obeyed his father, climbing that tree, he was doing that in order to make us able to fulfill the fifth commandment. Yes, we live in a crisis of authority time. But blessed be our God and Savior because He has given us the remedy for that. And the remedy for that is the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is not given to unbelievers. They are used to condemn unbelievers. The fifth commandment is given to you, people of God, so that you truly would experience the blessings of God as we raise our kids in light of it, and as we ourselves embrace the roles of fathers and mothers in all the spheres of society, from family to business and to government. Christ commands us to honor those who deserve honor, and He promises us that He will bless us. Praised be Him forever and ever. Let us pray. Our great God in heaven, we bless You and we thank You for this instruction. Your word is so rich. We can learn so much from it. It truly flows with rivers of life. And as we have learned more about the fifth commandment, Father, we pray that You would forgive us for breaking it. Forgive us, Father, when we're not giving honor to those who deserve honor. Our immediate family, our extended family. Father, forgive us when instead of obedient spirits, we offer rebel attitudes to those who have authority over us. Oh, Father, I pray that it would bring us to a true conviction of sin this evening. Help us to investigate our lives and track the places where we are not fulfilling our roles as inferiors or superiors, as sons and daughters, and as fathers and mothers. Father, bless those who are in position of authority here tonight, those who care for the flock, those who are heads of their households, those who are owner of businesses and who employs other people. Help them, O Lord, to be good fathers to their employers, to their employees. Help them, Father, to be good superiors to those who are under their care. And bless those, Father. Bless those who are under the inferior position. Sons, daughters, employees, those who should be giving honor to those who deserve honor. Encourage them, Father, and bless them. Through the power of Your Spirit, mortify their rebellion and help them, O Father, to fulfill the fifth commandment so that we truly would enjoy the blessings that You promise along with it. In Christ's name, Father, we pray. Amen.